There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Sheyi Osoyibi, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, enjoy the ministration.
Praise the Lord. When our singers and choir members will be singing spiritual songs. Not these ones that we keep some assaulting. Like, Mufero Jisungo. Praise God. The first day I heard that song, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Amen. Because the matters before us are very serious. We are not in a circus. We are in a battle. God will help us in Jesus' name. As we proceed in this convention, I'm trusting that they will get an accurate picture of what we will be engaging in and how to engage and all the technologies that are available to us in God to fight. Praise God. I thank God for the way Pastor Ernest went this morning. Like I said, he has peeped into my message. That's the problem of having a prophet speak before you come up. Praise God. It's always a problem. But I will try. I don't want to deviate because, of course, I too have my whole program planned out. Amen. Please, technical, this thing is not working. What's the problem here? Technical. Amen. I want to speak to us this morning, just like Pastor Ernest said, that there are patterns in the Old Testament that we need to learn from. And I saw a pattern also that I think will also augment the message that the teaching has just given to us, so that as we go forward, we can be filling the blank spaces as we continue. Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 to 36. I want us to read it. It's quite a long verse. I don't know whether I can trust the technical or the media. So let me go back to the old way of doing things by reading from the Holy Writ. Amen. I said amen. Are you in Exodus? Hallelujah. I'm reading from chapter 16. I want to speak the third from 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you shall bake today, and sift that which you shall sift, and that which remaineth over lay up for yourself to be kept till the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath. So the people rested on the seventh day. Praise the Lord. Can we rush? Okay, let me explain this before I go over to the other scriptures. I want you to understand a dynamic and a spiritual principle, and it's found from the Old Testament. Amen. The Bible told us that after God created everything, on the seventh day, he rested. And he hallowed that day and declared it holy. Amen. And it became a statute. It was so serious that when you break the Sabbath, especially in Israel, it was as good as a death penalty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you're going to ask yourself, why should it be so? There is so because it was a principle that God was setting in the earth for us to learn from. Amen. And so the Bible said that every day they were to gather their, whatever it is, their manna. But on the sixth day, he was going to give them double that amount that he had been giving them previously. Say, you understand me? So that whatever it is they gather on the sixth day, they will eat on the sixth, and they will have a carryover till the seventh day. Praise the Lord. You will understand why the Bible says he will give them both the former and the latter rain in one season. It has an implication. We'll be going there later on. Amen. And so we found that that was what God did for them throughout the 40 years of their journey in the wilderness. Amen. Now, the Bible told us, after thy sojourn in the wilderness for 40 years, you know that after 40 days, remember after the 40 days, they got to the promised land, the edge of the promised land. God said they should go and spy the land, sure you remember. And they came back with a report. Some people said, no, we cannot enter the land. And I've had cause to tell us here before, and I've said it in different places, that actually there were giants in those lands. There were real giants. Just like Pastor said, we have real problems confronting us. The challenges ahead are going to be more than what Christianity can do. Yeah, that's more than that. Dr. Woodruff, who said that CIA got together some people to project into the future, what will the future of 100 years look like? And they said that by the 100 years, they were not factoring Jesus' return, however, that in 100 years, they are assuming that by way of their advances in medicine and genetics and all that, people should be able to live up to 150, 200 years. How? Because the real reason why people die is that their vital organs fail. Are you with me? What are the vital organs? The heart, the liver, the lungs, the kidney, maybe the brain, the pancreas. They can genetically clone that. So when they clone, even you have, because we have a problem. When they do organ transfer, your body rejects it. So you have to go on medication to suppress your immune system from killing that organ. And once you suppress your immune system, other things will come around and come and kill the body again. So which way? Nigeria. Praise God. So they found a way out that if your lungs is giving you problems, they just clone your lungs. They take a piece of your lung, clone it, and put it back. Your body will fight it. So you can live for 150 years. You can live for 200 years. Now, he now said, how will you pastor a church of men and women that are 200 years old? Are you with me? You are not following me. It's difficult for me to ask Sister Lizzie to pastor me. Because I say, what does she know? You understand me? What has her eyes seen? Now, the man is 50 years old. His firstborn is 100 years old. That man's firstborn is 50 years old. The fourth generation is 30 years old. That one is also having another child that is already coming already. So you have about 4 or 5 generations in the church. What kind of management principle will you use? The whole nature of civilization with altar. You have to come up with new technology. Then, how will you now come with this same old Bible? And you are preaching the same old Bible. They will tell you that, go and sit down. We don't need God. We have solved the problem of humanity. Hallelujah. Then some people will fall away. But the Bible says there shall be a falling away. You will not fall away in Jesus' name. But these are realities we must understand. And they are there. So for 6 days, God said you guys should gather. And when these guys got to the land, they said, no, we saw giants. Look, there are giants in that promise. You cannot lay hold of other promises without you fighting those giants. But they were not ready to fight. And so the Bible says God turned them around and made them wander for 40 years in the wilderness. For one single purpose. So that every man that was from 20 and above, you are not enlisted into the army of God until you are 20 and above. Said that generation were wasted. It took 40 years for God to waste them. Said 1 year for one day that you spend in the wilderness. That was the amount of time God was going to use to waste them. You will not be wasted in Jesus' name. And so I have looked at and I found that the things we are preaching, really, we are not the first to preach it. People have been preaching it since the day of Paul. But the problem was that just like those said that came to the edge of the promised land, they saw the promises and they looked at it and said, yes, the promise looks good. It's very good to the ears, to hear, and very, very sweet. Look, the promise that God has given to us, like he said, God did not give birth to small g's. Praise God. You don't understand. It's enough for your mind to grasp. The major sin that Jesus committed was calling himself the Son of God. He said, for what sin do you stone me? For what miracles? He said, none of the miracles. None of the things you did. But calling yourself Son of God, you made yourself equal with God. Hallelujah. And it's difficult for you to understand that and appreciate that. And so when Peter said, he has given us great and precious promises, that by these promises, we should be what? Partakers of what? When you partake in the divine nature, what does that make you? You have to partake of divinity. Hallelujah. Everything about you is divine. Now, that is the problem. How do I preach that without me getting you to start believing I am now a God? Hey boys, I'm a God. I don't know whether you are with me. Our minds are getting this challenge of, can it be true? Well, if it was Pastor Enes that preached it, it must be true, but when you go back home, don't mind Pastor Enes, I mean, look at me, can't you see me? It means that I'm still playing with fornication. It can't be true, John. God will allow you to waste away. He has time. In case you don't know, it's called the Ancient One. He lives forever. Time is not his problem. See, as you can see, God can afford to wait for another 1,000 years to have a generation that will believe him. He can afford to wait. It is you and I that cannot afford to wait. Because we are aging. If we want to wait, our bodies will not let us wait. Amen. Because our bodies are decaying. Every day they say, happy birthday. Hey, it's a lie. You are dying. Do you know you are dying? You don't know. You don't like that message. It's not very palatable. We are saying, you know, among us, once you cross 50, you are going down. You are going down. Then you begin to think about death every day. So that means anytime I... It's my own turn. Praise God. You were really born to die. From the day you took Queen, you were actually dying. But that is the sad essence about man right now. But that is the promise now is that you will be a partaker of the divine nature. Now, some people believe the little said, where we die, we will inherit that nature. But that is not what God said. It said, while you are in the body, we will inherit it. And that becomes beyond, it goes beyond what our minds can grapple with. And so when they saw the giants in the land, they said, we are not able to go to it. It can't be done. No one has the testimony of fighting the sons of the Anakims and winning. Nobody has ever testified that a mortal man took on the nature of divinity and lived. Praise God. And because there was no precedence, there was no antecedents, therefore it cannot happen. And so God will wait for another generation to be raised and the same message will be preached to them. They've been preaching since the day of Paul. And people have been saying, no, it can't happen. And so he has allowed them to be phased out. And he has been, and just like he brought them into the edge of the promised land, he brought another generation. Their children. Their children. And they said, oh, for our sake of our children. He brought their children to the edge of the promised land. And said, will you also go in? If they have said in the days of Joshua, we don't really think we can go in. God will say, no problem. Joshua, make a U-turn. And they'll go around again. they will go around again until they all die. And their own children will come. I said, will you also go? I'm asking God to help us is that we don't run that circuit again. The Bible spoke about certain people in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, that even though they did not lay hold upon the promise, they saw them afar and they embraced it and confessed it and rejoiced in it. And so as far as God was concerned, they had already received it. Are you with me? A generation can get that done. Praise God. I'm trusting God that will happen for us in Jesus' name. Now go to Joshua chapter 5. And I want to show you certain things about this principle of Sabbath. Joshua chapter 5 verses 12. And let me take the thought from 12. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover on living cakes and parched corn in the same self-day. 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after their eating of the old corn of the land. Neither are the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Praise the Lord. It is significant for us to understand a principle here, that every time manna stopped, it was always on the Sabbath. Please pay attention. Where do you find God stopping manna? Always on the Sabbath. They had no manna to eat on the Sabbath rest. In Joshua chapter 12, chapter 5 verse 12, when the manna ceased, as far as God is concerned, Israel has entered their rest. Do you understand me? Israel had entered what? A rest. Because there was no Sabbath. That was the pattern he was teaching them for the past 40 years. That on the day you don't say manna, you have entered Sabbath. On the day this manna ceased, Israel knew they had entered rest. But you will remember, shortly after that, they had to confront Jericho. Sabbath was not, in the mind of God, a time for you to rest as per se. It was a time for you to begin to contend. You now begin to understand. When Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will do what? I will give you rest. Did he stop there? No. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Hallelujah. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you will do what? Find. One he gave. This one, you will do what? Find. The finding requires effort. The finding requires you to engage actively in the search. Amen. You now begin to understand what Paul said. He said, I want to apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. It was God who came to apprehend him. Then after apprehending me, now I said, come and apprehend him. Do you understand that metaphor? Yeah. They arrested him. Jesus came and arrested him as a savior. He now said, come and look for me again. And so he said, I want to lay hold upon perfection. When he met him on the way to Damascus, he didn't meet him as a perfected one. Praise God. And so, but in his journey of life, he needed to lay hold upon that perfection that I'm seeking, that I may partake in that resurrection. And so he spoke about striving. You understand it. That was the finding rest. So in the book of Hebrews, Paul was writing. Can we go to Hebrews? Is it chapter 3? Let me pick the thoughts. It's quite a long. Praise the Lord. I won't be talking too much this morning. Sir? Okay, let's go to 4. Okay, Hebrews 4. I'm only trying to summarize this thing. I'm not... Are you there? Now, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entry what? Into his rest. Any of it should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Bible says it was not mixed with faith. What was faith that God expected them to have done? Some of us, we think that faith is just mental assent. It goes beyond mental assent. You can agree mentally with a thing, but you are not in faith. Are you with me? We can only know your faith when we see what you do.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. We have to see your actions. Then we can say, that is faith. How do I know? The Bible says Jesus Christ was in a place teaching, and some friends wanted to bring in their friend that was on the stretcher, and he could not walk. They wanted Jesus to touch him, but the press was too much. People were too much. They couldn't enter. They went through the windows. The place was jam-packed. They went through the doors. It was not possible. They had to go through the roof. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the Bible said, I don't know, I've not been to Israel before, but I assume that their houses were like those in the north. Mud with like all those things. And they had to start digging a hole. Now, they were not digging a hole. They had to dig an amount of space to allow that stretcher to go down. I don't know how big the parlor was, but they would have taken a considerable amount of roof from that man's house. And I'm very sure the man of the house is not their friend. I'm just assuming. Praise. Even if you are my friend and you are removing my roof, I will sue you. And they were removing that man's roof without his permission. You can imagine the amount of dust that was falling on top of the people that were listening to Jesus. I want to believe that Jesus himself was collecting dust. Now, the thing was, debris was falling on his head. Jesus did not even do as if anything was happening. He just continued teaching. I can imagine people who say, ah, what is that? Ah, why are you saying that? He just continued teaching. And just like continued digging. Praise God. And when they are finished digging, they lower their friend right into the front of Jesus. And the pastor and Jesus saw their faith. So what was faith there? It was their actions. What they did to get him to get his attention was what the Bible calls faith. So the Bible says it did not profit them because there was no faith. They did not mix their confession with faith. So what are you doing that will show God that you have come to the place of not only understanding what is being preached, but that you are willing to step out? That your leg, how do they say, where rubber meets, what's that? How do you say that thing? When the rubber meets the road, then we know you are serious. Many of us, we are in our comfort zones. Everybody likes comfort. Praise the Lord. All of us like comfort. But heaven is beckoning on us to step out of our comfort zone. Those young men, can you imagine the effort in the dry season in that Middle East weather? If you've been to Dubai, that place is not easy to live in. I was told that there is a law. Any car that doesn't have an AC, they will impound it. Because they say you want to kill people. And your AC must operate at a certain level when they test it. When their own VIO test it. If it's not meeting regulation, they will impound your something. Because the temperature is killing. And I can imagine them struggling to climb up the roof, bring their friend up, land him on the something, now dig down something, and now drop him down. But says he saw their faith. And he says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins except God? This is blasphemy. Because you don't understand. In the Old Testament, only an high priest can declare you forgiven after blood has been shed. And here stood a man called Jesus of Nazareth, pronouncing forgiveness without blood. Not even coming from the priesthood order. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Who is this boy that is declaring somebody forgiven? He cannot declare that. It's nonsense. We have to go and meet him in the Sanhedrin. So which one is this? To tell this boy to walk, to get up or to forgive him. Or he has to show you that the Son of Man has authority. Yeah, carry your bed and walk. Amen. And they were like, ha ha ha. So it is much easier to tell a man, be healed, than to tell you are forgiven. It's much easier to say be healed. Oh, Rena Bonke found that out. He went to Kano, and blind men were opening, their eyes were opening. And they said, come and give your life to Jesus. They said, no, it was that white man that opened their eyes. It was not Jesus. And they didn't give their life to Jesus. They didn't give their life to Jesus. So people can get miracles, but they don't need your salvation. Randy Clark said of a woman like that she was living in adultery. She was living waywardly, and yet God healed her of brain tumor, and that didn't stop God from intervening in her life, even though she was not willing to give her life to Jesus. Sure, you understand. So, which is easier? The miracles or whatever? Getting them saved. So these are the issues that we need to confront ourselves with. Are you prepared to accept the challenge of walking in faith? The Bible says it was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with faith. Can we go back to that Hebrews 4? So you ask me, Pastor, what were they supposed to do? Look, why was Caleb and Joshua differentiated from the rest of them? The Bible says after they gave that report, I guess they must have discussed it in camp, that this was what we were going to write. I don't know if there have been any committee before that you have to write a report. There's what they call a minority report. There will be a majority report. Praise God. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. So the two of them said, don't let's say that. Hey, shut up, John. It's a fico. S.U. So when they got to the camp and those 10 made their report, the two girls said, no, keep quiet. We are able to go. We are well able to. In fact, we have entered already. They have given, God has given it to us. If the way they were speaking, those young men were ready to enter. All they needed was go, and they were ready to go. Abraham was not credited with righteousness until he was ready to kill his son. You can speak in tongues. From your house to the Mount Moriah, it's still not faith. Do you understand me? It was not faith. It became faith when the guy brought out the dagger and raised it up, and it was going to go down. God said, stop. Now I know. Have you got to that point of no return? That it is clear that if God does not show up, it's over for you. Then you become a bad example. In those days, they used to tell us, Magba will remorse you. Mabi Magba will remorse you. When you collect madness with religion. Because the testimonies available were not good. When you look at issues, you don't want to look like them. So we had a counter-revolution where we now went to the other end. You are more worldly than those in the world. You have to find your balance. Why are we copying them? Pastor was saying something along that line. We have to be careful about copying people. If you read this history of Israel, it's always about copying. Copying. Because we like their technology, we like their civilization, we like their everything. There are things we just like it. They are the one defining things for us. And that should not be. They are the one. People ask you, what kind of song do you sing? I sing hip hop. Where did you get that from? Did you read hip hop in heaven? How do you sing the Lord's song? Or the song of Moses? Well, how will you classify that? Pastor, you are the one who sings the song of Moses in the Revelation. Is that hip hop or reggae? Those guys don't sing their song. Amen. God will have mercy. Why do you think God gave them manna for 40 years? You don't know what it is to eat manna. Okay, let me explain myself. What's your best food? Your best food. Best like best. Rice and beans, very plenty. Amen. Praise God. That rice and beans, if I give it to you this afternoon, your soul will bless me. If I give you this evening, your thanksgiving will go down a little. By the time I give you tomorrow morning, you will start grumbling. By tomorrow afternoon, you will likely go into rebellious mood. I don't know whether you understand me. Because something within a human being, you cannot keep eating the same food. You need varieties. You like it. But God suffered them. He made them to suffer. That I suffered your soul to hunger. Even though the amount of manna each man ate made him full. Praise God. If you took 2 measures of manna, it will fill you. If mommy took 1 measure, it will fill her. Everybody had enough to take care of him or her. And this was, and I think it was 1-0-0. Because there's no provision. Was that provision for him? Okay, there was 2 provisions. 1-0-1. They ate meat in the evening, not in the afternoon, manna in the morning. Praise God. And they were traveling great distances. Yet the Bible said, the shoes on their legs that they wore did not wear out. As their foot was growing, and they were growing tall, the shoe was growing. The clothes they wore, they didn't have time to wash it, because there was no water to wash clothes. Praise God. Am I communicating? And the clothes were growing on their bodies. Amen. If some of you here, I don't think they had time to wash their teeth. Did anybody read in the Bible where they were washing their teeth? Where there was close up? But there is no record that they had mouth odor. Who was washing their teeth? Hello? Am I communicating to us? They were not emitting body odor. Who was perfuming their body? Why do you think those things came from? It came from the manna they were eating. Yeah, the Bible said that they ate the manna in the wilderness and they still died. Without supernatural manifestations. What am I trying to say? Look, Elijah too had the same encounter. I don't know how many months Elijah was eating, what was those ravens were giving him meat. They bring meat for him in the morning, they bring meat for him in the evening. I think from that, can I put a message of 101. Praise God. You should not eat lunch. Eat breakfast, eat your supper, no lunch. But I didn't preach it to. Please, don't go and do it. Now, eating those kind of things did not belleful him. Do you understand me? It was not enough for him to be filled like that, that will make him fat. But it was sufficient to sustain him for the challenges ahead. Praise God. And so when we look at our lives, what are the things sustaining you? What are the things you look up to sustain you? And God will help us in Jesus' name. So the Bible was telling us that this man did not step out in faith. Can we go back to Hebrews 4? I want to be in a roundup. Please give me Hebrews 4. Now the Bible says, let's jump in verse 7. Let's jump to verse 7. And again, he limited certain days, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, that is Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew variant of Jesus. Jesus is the Greek for Joshua. It's called Yeshua. Praise God. If Yeshua had given them rest, that is Joshua, because Joshua was the one who brought them into the promised land. So you remember that, like I said, their first encounter with Sabbath was the conquering of Jericho. Sure you remember? And from Jericho, they kept on fighting until Joshua eventually gave them rest. But we know, he said, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, what Joshua gave them was not actually rest. It was a type and a pattern of what was to come. Amen. There remained therefore a rest for the people of God. Next verse. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. 11. Hear this. This is where my emphasis. Let us labor therefore. The word labor, you can put strife. You can put contend. You can put war. Are you with me? Because something is not going to, they are not going to give it to us on a platter of gold. Warfare is necessary. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Let any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is what? Is living. Why did you take me to ESV? I'm not used to ESV. Give me back my original KJV. This is the approved version in which we must preach in the churches. Praise the Lord. What is the connection between the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword? We're talking about us laboring. What's that connection? Are you getting me? It's powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the divided asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, it now says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hallelujah. So we have a scenario on our hands. We have been asked to wait a war for that rest. When they came into the Sabbath, they had to contend to get that rest. But we realize that even Joshua Joshua could not complete that task. They had to wait for a man called David. Let me tell you, as I bring this, my thoughts to a close, all the promises in God are found in Jesus. And they are yes and amen. They are not doing anything again. They are not conjoining any new promise. There is nothing heaven is going to do again. They've finished everything. And technically, potentially, they're all available to everyone that is able to go up. Now, do you realize Ephesians chapter 1? Let's go to Ephesians 1. Give me Ephesians 1 verse 4. I want to start rounding up my thoughts. Ephesians 1:4, which you all know. He said, according as he has given us what? Chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, verse 5. No. Please, give me verse 3. Let's take from verse 3. It's not 4. Take from verse 3. I will lose my train of thought. Take it from verse 3. Say, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us. Please, the word blessing did not say, is going to bless us. He said, we have been blessed. Who hath blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Heavenly places. One, we say heavenly stratas. Heavenly what? Stratas. There are stratas of blessings. Where? In Christ. Verse 4. According as they had chosen us in him before the foundation. Later we'll talk about the word chosen. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. My God. How can you be blameless before God? Seeing that you are a son of man who drinketh iniquity like water. Satan has told the creation. He said it's not possible. Did you not testify? I like that drama. When that Oluwo was quoting scriptures back to the man of God. Pastor said, even you Bible more than the man of God. May your enemy not know your Bible more than you. Because this is your profession. You must know it in and out. I just stand in court and you cannot quote relevant clauses and authorities. Often like that. It is today that court is boring. Nigerian courts are boring. If you watch American court sessions, you would like to be a lawyer. Praise the Lord. You must. He said, is it not written in that same book in your hand? Praise God. Amen. No? Without blame. That these are the children that drinketh iniquity like water. And yet the Bible says you shall be blameless. Holy and blameless before him. That is one of the things that you will have to contend for. How will you become blameless? How will you become holy? Amen. Amen. Divine nature is not I can walk through wall. That's not where we are going to. It's not by walking through wall. Sure you understand me. Mm-mm. It's not a walking to wall thing. It's not you going through the roof. We are not magicians. Praise God. By your mere standing, powers in the air will shift. You don't need to go and through. You are just standing here and they are relocating themselves. There was a man in Israel that has such authority. St. Patrick's of Ireland. St. Patrick arrived on Ireland and as he set his foot on the Irish soil, they said all the snakes on that island began to run. He just set foot and all those snakes, which are types of those spirits that are governed Ireland, began to run away. He had a confrontation with the Druid. The Druids were like Baal worshippers, the same Baal you saw in the Old Testament. Baal worshippers are the same worshippers of Shango. When you hear Baal, it's Shango, the god of lightning and thunder. The one they said to the Fulanis. They are still the same. Praise God. They are the ones that walk through fire. So when Elijah said, let the God that answered by fire be God, they said, you are already finished. Because those guys play with fire. That's like their profession. They just come to church. I say, Pastor, how many fire have you generated today? They are generating own fire. You generate that small fire. That's what they do in their own church. Praise God. So when I said, letting the answer by fire be God, they say, Elijah, you have finished. We will meet you on Mount Carmel. And so when they got there, Elijah learned a principle. Anything you bound on earth, they will bind it in heaven. So when he bound that spirit, they called on their God, nothing happened. They caught themselves, nothing happened. They cried. He has traveled to Lagos. This is just get there, that demon, I bind you. The guy is dead. He's dead. He will just go win. He will just go vim. Everything will come out. Praise God. They told me of a story that happened in Lagos. I can't verify the story really. But it helped me to understand certain things. Of how a young brother was preaching in the Molue. That is in the days of the Molues. And I think he stepped on a man's leg accidentally and the man got angry. And he was a powerful occultic man. I told the young man to undress in the bus. And the guy could not resist. He began to undress. And one brother got up and anger. Said, what nonsense is this? Say, brother, in the name of Jesus, stop undressing. Baba, undress. And Baba began to undress. It's called authority. If you don't know your right from your left, they will teach you. Do you understand? So let me finish with the stratas. There are stratas of blessings you have to climb. It's not in one, it's not like ultimate search that you grab it and you have gotten the ultimate. No, you keep on going. You get a clue, it pushes you to the next something, pushes you to the next quest, and you keep on going, keep on going. So when I said in my father's house there are many mansions, how can you have mansions in the house? Is architecturally possible? Any architect in the house? Student or completed? You don't build mansion inside house. It's like this is the house. You now build mansion inside. Is it done? You build mansions in estates. You didn't say in my father's estate there are many mansions. Then the principle of many houses in heaven. There are houses in heaven. No, praise God. I think there are houses. But this is not what God is talking about. Inside of Christ are stratas of. When Paul was writing, he said, those who have laid hold of the power of the ages to come. There are things that are yet to be undeclared, that only you can press in and get it. That is part of the fight you will have to fight. How can you be holy? And you are standing in this earth, and you are without blame. Jesus is the only first person to say, the enemy cometh and findeth nothing in him. They exhaled him. They did everything. They conjured it. They found no nothing. It will take more than a miracle. Can you believe God for that? That I can walk this walk. And you are willing to pursue that agenda. The problem is that you agree with me now in church. But when you step out there, it's not part of your program. Your ambition is still your ambition. I want to be the finest girl in town. You cannot talk about holy and with blameless. If that is still on your mind. You cannot say, I want to be the CEO, CEO of Intercontinental Bank. If those ambitions are still in your heart, you cannot say like Caleb, I'm able to go up. Say we are able to go up. And so when they came back 40 years after, he came back to Joshua at the age of 80. Said, as I was 40 years ago, I'm still as strong. I won this. The man did not ask for a plain. He didn't ask for a valley. He asked for a mountain. What will you ask God for? How audacious is your faith? How audacious. I'm not saying we want to prove anything. It's not about proving. I want to show them I'm serving a living God. No, it's not that. We already know you are serving a living God. Praise the Lord. Those young men said to Nebuchadnezzar, said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, hear us very well. We believe our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But even if he chooses not to deliver us, we still will not bow down. Let me tell you, some people have made the same declaration and God did not deliver them. It did not mean that the God they serve is a weak God. It's just his own sovereign choice. Amen. Do you understand me? And those guys appeared in God, in front of God in heaven and they were not complaining. They said, God, and we boasted about you and you disappointed us. See how they just killed us like that. No. They entered heaven triumphantly. One of them called Stephen. Jesus stood up to receive him. God did not deliver him. He allowed him to be killed. But God received him as a warrior who entered heaven triumphantly. And I believe Paul picked up where Stephen stopped. Praise the Lord. Do you understand me, church? So we have this issue. The rest of God, under this testament, is a time for us to wage war. And God helping us in the days ahead, we'll be looking at how to wage this war. The nature of this warfare. I've just given an hint of the things that God will be asking you to believe for. How to be holy and blameless. You will now know why a lot of effort needs to go into your day-to-day living. Now, please, let me say this. It's easier for me not to commit fornication. Provided you don't hear any bad news from my end, you think I'm okay. But there's another area you have to fight. Your imagination. None of you sees that. Amen. I can hold microphone and preach from here to kingdom come. But if my imagination is not dealt with, I'm still as good as any sinner on the road. I'm not holy and I'll not be blameless. So there must be a synergy between my imagination and my real life. Many of us live in the realm of our imagination. Sure, you know that. If you look upon a woman to lust after her, you are already a sinner. Where does those things happen? In your imagination. It starts from there. You just lie down. 3 days, 3 times. Saturday. And immediately, your imagination kicks into operation. And then you begin to have all kinds of sexual relationships Saturday in your imagination. You are not clean. You are not holy. Are you with me? That is a fight you must come to learn to fight. Your emotions, your will, all kinds of things are wrong that you have to conquer them. Then, of course, you know that we still also have to step out there and help others. Because there's another principle in the Bible, which I did not have time to enumerate. When Israel was coming out of the land, the first two tribes, is it Manasseh or so? Got their promised land, called their own promise before crossing the river Jordan. The Reubenites. They crossed their own before the others entered their own promise. And Moses was wroth. Said, why will you want to settle down? And they said, we will not settle down. He now told them that they will not rest until their own brethren take their own promise. It's only in our days that men of God feel comfortable when their own church is okay and others are not okay. So in other words, that you can have I'm the father, you are the child. It should not be like that. Just like you said, Lester Somra. Nobody knew he was a billionaire. When he was going to die, Pastor Bakari said he went to his house. There was one, he was expecting a mansion. It was a flat the man was living in. Flat. When he entered the house, sparsely furnished. Old chairs. A multi-billionaire. Old chairs. When he was going to, say he gave him one tie. One tie or two ties. Said, when you are going to war, fight this kind of, preach this kind of, wear this particular type of tie. When you are going to face this kind of situation, where look like. It is not the oldness, it's those things symbolizing something. You are connecting to him. That's what he had, that's what he gave away. They might die a billionaire, but you will not know it was a billionaire. But the rest of us will not let the world rest because we have the billions. And unfortunately, a brother came who was a missionary, said they want to buy land. I said, I don't have money. I can't help you. I'm fighting my own here. Praise God. You can fight your own. Amen. But there are brethren that have the money. They have the money. And what are they doing with the money? Only God knows. A generation of you is going to be raised that will have money. But please, the money is not yours. It's not yours. Tell your neighbor it's not yours. This has to be holy and blameless. It's not to buy the latest jet. You don't need it. Hallelujah. If we don't need it. It's only in Nigeria that our president has about 5 to 6 presidential jets. The Prime Minister of Britain has no jet. He flies commercial jet. As poor as we are still maintaining 5 to 6 presidential jets. They want to buy more. Even Technical is telling me to close. I'm only asking you, why do you really need iPhone? What is an iPhone? Camera. What do you have in your account that they're looking for? Am I communicating? These are questions you should ask yourself. What exactly do you need it for? If you're a cameraman and you use it, we can even go and buy a normal camera like this one. Go and buy it and let us know you're a photographer. Praise God. Ask yourself, what do you need it for? If you're going to be holy and blameless, because if it comes to blame, you will find fault with your decision. No? We must have to make a decision that when they present before everybody, they cannot blame you. Say you understand me. They can't blame you. That you wore white shirt today. Do you know that Satan can find blame when you wore white shirt? Can say you wore the white shirt because of that Satan sitting beside you. Is that not true? The thoughts cross your mind. Say, if she sees me in this white shirt, you know that I'm fine. Hallelujah. Oh, that already is a blame. Say you understand me. So you must be careful. There's a war that will be fought here. A mental war. You must know how to deal with those issues. You must know how to enter territories of the enemy and cast down the powers that rule in that area. There are so many things to learn in this meeting. I'm trusting God will help us in Jesus' name. Can we just bow our heads to pray?
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PGC Church, or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thank you.